Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This
is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You know, we can't all be flowery and complimentary and loving.
Jeff, that's a good point, Jeff. Maybe we should. Yeah, everybody's feeling good about it.
That's interesting, man.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm a baby face.
Oh, my God.
I'm the top baby face. Probably on KFH right now on the entire station.
That's just like your opinion, man.
And Jason Duda, for today anyway.
But I'm the judge.
I am the judge. Whether you're jury.
I hear ya.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show. We've got Jason Duda in with Bob and Jeff today, the three-man booth, as we get it going. Jeff, Duda, how are you all doing today? Very quiet in the pre-show session.
Well, there's a reason. What'd you eat? That wasn't my reason, but I'm willing to run with it.
What do you mean, what did I eat?
What did you eat?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Duda, look at him.
What happened?
Nothing. Can you see?
Oh, yeah, I can see it now.
What?
What did you eat?
Yeah, what did you
eat? I'm not going to tell you until you tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want us to tell people what we're seeing.
Around my mouth?
Yeah, your whole beard and mustache have turned blue. I don't think you're that old, so
blue?
What did you eat?
Blue.
It's blue.
Well, I don't know.
I didn't notice it until he said that.
I have no idea.
Cotton candy. He's holding out.
What does
on
it
us.
Look like I ate? I haven't eaten
a
anything.
A donut or something.
It looks like blue
no,
cotton
I had a
candy,
no,
doesn't it?
I had no donut.
Really?
I had a few peanuts earlier.
Oh, that peanuts wouldn't do
that's
that.
That's not going to do it. You haven't had anything with any artificial coloring?
No.
Huh.
I've never seen a beard turn blue.
Well, now you got me worried.
Well, I told you probably didn't want to ask the question.
Well, why is this guy jumping on me right out of the chute?
I don't know.
I was just
is
curious.
That why you weren't talking to me?
No, I didn't even notice it until he said it.
You got a mirror on your phone? Well, let me look at my...
Yeah, you better check it out, because it's blue. I can see it from here. I thought cotton candy. That was my first guess.
Have you been exposed to cobalt or indigo?
Oh, no.
That could be something.
Indigo.
Stress? Can change your hair color. I don't know if it's to blue, but I don't know.
There is a little blue over there, isn't there?
There is.
Seems like it's.
I don't know what it is.
Seems like it's sort of coming off if you like lick your.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a fatal. Look up fatal blue hair.
Oh yeah, maybe he's gonna just make sure he gets.
I've heard of old people becoming blue hairs, but this is ridiculous.
Well, this is
I already used that joke.
There's a reason.
I didn't
it.
Hear you.
I didn't hear it either. Actually,
you didn't use it.
Yes, I did. I said your hair's blue. I don't think you're that old. So what's going on? I said something
that
like that.
That wasn't as funny as mine.
It was pretty close.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know. I did. Now I'm.
You didn't have
I'm racking my brain trying to think of what I may have.
Does it hurt? Is it a bruise?
No, it doesn't hurt.
I'm just asking.
We're just worried about you. It's all simple.
Some kind of varicose vein? Yeah, you might need to wash it off.
Or
it's not coming off.
Why didn't my wife tell me this?
I don't know.
I sat in an insurance agent's chair for 40 minutes earlier today. I wonder if, Adam, if you saw this and you said to yourself, what the hell's wrong with this old man? I mean, I this is ridiculous. Is my wife not paying attention?
I don't know. What's going on? Maybe she was afraid to tell you. Maybe she...
Well, why wouldn't she have said before we went in and sat down, hey, honey, you got a little blue stuff on your beard there. Get it out, please.
Well, maybe she looked up fatal blue hair and didn't want to tell you what she found. I don't know.
Wanted to make sure you paid the insurance first so she was good for a year.
Well, that could be.
I mean, that's only smart, and Debbie's
a smart
girl.
What must Adam have thought?
I think that's probably
he
what
he might have been in on it.
Well, now you got me all flustered. Well,
don't be flustered. I wouldn't be flustered, but you didn't need anything.
I cannot think of anything that would have caused this. I had guys delivering furniture today. I wonder if it was there when they were here. I mean,
did you touch something?
This is how you get a reputation.
Did you touch something of color of sorts? Or
no, I didn't touch anything.
Is it your pen ink, perhaps?
Yeah, I kissed my pen.
No, I'm asking. Maybe it got on your hands and you brushed away.
Did anything look like it's on my hands?
I'm just asking, dude.
Don't snap at us. I mean, you asked.
Snapping at you.
You asked this question. I said you might not want to ask it. And now you're losing your marbles for something you did to yourself. And can't remember.
Is this something you guys conspired to do yesterday?
Yes.
We're going to go over here and plant some blue dye somewhere. I'm going to have Debbie rub it on his face when he's sleeping. And then he won't notice it. And at 2 o'clock, we'll attack him.
We actually got together at lunch today and did it.
Yeah.
Well, how'd it get there?
Oh, that's a secret. I mean, why would we tell you that?
Right. After all the time we spent planning it, we're just going to give it away now.
I mean, I had a great opening for the show, which was making fun of you.
Well, that kind of turned around on you, didn't it?
Dang it, man.
That joke turned blue in a hurry.
I could use it. There you go. Not bad.
Go for it.
That was C. Jeff didn't even give you any.
Oh, right. No,
I didn't hear it. I apologize. Yeah. You were both talking.
Jeff's so wrapped up in his own world.
That's true.
I was just going to mention that there was some news I read on maybe even KWCH website about on 235 someone had lost their trailer.
Yeah, that was
and
yesterday.
And I had to call you. I felt like calling you to make sure you were okay.
That's funny.
I get it because he lost it. But yeah, that's
I funny. Didn't lose it.
Well, it did. You did.
I wasn't responsible for that, and everything's fine.
Well, it made news here in Wichita. I wonder if it did in Columbus.
Well, it was here, though.
What do you mean it was here?
The trailer falling off. Are you talking about the one that happened yesterday?
No, the one that happened to you in Columbus.
No, I don't think so. There were no reporters that came out, so.
Did that trailer sit idle for some time?
It did.
And you came back and got it? At a later
day? No, we stayed and we had it towed to my sister's house. And a few weeks later, my wife and mother-in-law went back to Ohio to get it.
Still one of the great stories.
Fantastic.
And I'll never get tired of it. So when I saw the trailer loose here in Wichita.
Just assumed.
Nobody heard about that and it wasn't even a thing. It was just somebody's like back something. I don't know all the words. They use like stiff rear rotor loader, your rigger, random. It's like
well,
all
it made
these
the
things.
News.
Must yeah, everything makes the news.
Slow news day.
Maybe so.
I didn't put it up. Don't
maybe
blame me.
So. Here's we don't have a slow day here on the show. However, at 2:25, Brandon Clark, head football coach at Derby, they are facing Manhattan. Boy, that's a whale of a game coming up Friday night, or will it be?
We'll find
we'll
out.
Get your thoughts. I'd put that line at, you can't do that in high school sports. Although someday you might.
17 and a half.
The way things are going. 17 and a half?
Yeah.
I'd take Derby.
I think I would too.
I don't know.
So maybe
it
the line's
more,
not high
I mean,
enough.
When Manhattan played Mays beat him up a little bit. So
yeah.
They might be a little.
Yeah, Mays. Boy, they
almost
they can't
scored.
Stop talking about that game.
Well,
49-0 at
half.
They're
just trying to help Derby out, that's
don't
all.
Don't turn me against Mays.
Well, I'm not turning against
don't
anything.
Be that guy.
I'm trying to
you
tell
can, you can feel however you want about anything. No,
no
one's,
I like,
no
I
one's
like
controlling your emotions.
Don't turn me against you.
If you're against me, you're against me.
Well, I may be.
That's fine.
But don't try to run Mays up the flagpole as some team that, well, Manhattan
was
lucky
obviously,
to get
obviously, it was 55-0.
Yeah, Bob.
No, don't do it. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, why?
I got blue tint in my mouth.
I'd love it. He's going to be rattled for 2 hours.
Anyway, Brandon Clark at 225. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle at 245. Shockers unbeaten. They get their first, I wouldn't say their first real test, but a real test tomorrow night up in Kansas City facing St. Louis at the, what do they call that place now?
T-Mobile Center.
The T-Mobile Center. used to be the Sprint Center.
Sure did. There's no Sprint
anymore.
How'd
they go away from Sprint?
Sprint went away from itself.
Didn't you have Sprint for a while?
Yeah, now I have T-Mobile. How about that? I think. Or do I have Verizon? I don't know.
Well, you think you'd know.
I think I have Verizon. Yeah, I do have Verizon.
I've always had AT&T.
That's nice.
What do you have?
AT&T.
Well, I think we're a little superior.
Well, Verizon gets better reception out where I live.
Which is important because he's out there.
You have to consider these things.
And then at 3:25, we'll make picks. Jason Duda has taken a 20-point lead over Jeff, a 21-point lead over yours truly. Max and Anthony, unfortunately, they've...
It's nice that they chime in.
Kind of sold the farm.
I'm glad they're still on, though.
Well, maybe they'll have a big week.
You never know in this. It can happen.
It's another tough week. A lot of interesting games. A lot of games that you don't really know how the outcome's going to turn out.
Yeah, I can honestly say I don't like this week.
Max had a good week last week. I had the best week, finally. Long overdue. And even with that good week, I was only 4-4. And I'm only 40-56 for the year. Duda has the lead there at 43-53.
Wow.
That's the best.
That's bad.
Why are the games so hard this year?
It's college.
Wait, what'd you say your record was? 40-56?
40-56. You're 42-54. In the last 2 weeks, you're 3-13.
Yeah, very bad. Very bad.
Yeah, that's
so you tough. Listened to the show, obviously, yesterday. What did you think?
Oh, I texted in. What did I text?
About Rad Racer.
That was just brutal.
You didn't like my Rad Racer.
I didn't even know what you're doing.
And I knew Duda was like, what? And it just went on and on.
It didn't stop.
No, I just wanted to play.
Why can't you just hit something for a minute or so?
I thought people would be interested. A lot of people played Rad Racer back in the day.
No, not me.
Did you hear our Joe Posnanski interview?
I did not.
He's in town today.
Well, good for him. Signing a book, I take it.
He's talking. He's not just signing. He's out there having an event.
Well, good for him. He ought to.
Jeff's going tonight.
I might.
No, you're not.
Let me tell you right now, he will not go.
I have two tickets. But I don't have anybody to go with. You want to go?
No.
Okay.
Find somebody to go.
I have asked.
What about the almighty David Michael Hahn?
Yeah, like when in doubt.
David Michael Hahn thinks highly of himself. I'll just say that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey.
Uh-oh.
Trouble in paradise.
Yeah, just...
What happened?
You know, just makes me kind of grovel. I got to ask him 4 or 5 times if he's going. He doesn't ever give a firm answer, so then I got to ask again. Like, just tell me what's going on, man.
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm asking.
Doesn't sound good.
Just tell me.
Will he be invited to the Christmas or the birthday dinner?
Ooh. Not right now, it doesn't sound like.
Doesn't seem like it.
Mm.
You got
Jeff's very fickle with his friendship.
I wouldn't say that, but
come on. You detour even a little bit.
Oh, you can't.
And he'll drop you like a lead balloon.
Yeah, trust is a difficult thing to attain. It's an even more difficult.
So where are you with David Michael?
Love him. But I need him to be better for me. That's all.
Wow.
He's got a wife, young children.
A job.
A lot of friends. More than you ever thought of having. And I'm sorry, but why would you be a priority?
Well, I don't need to be a priority.
Well,
I need
he needs to be there for you.
No, I need him to be better. I don't need him to be there. He didn't have to be there. But if you can't go, tell me you can't go. Don't make me ask 4 times.
Bigger variety of friends.
I don't like having to beg
people.
So
that every time David Michael Hahn thought, oh, God, Jeff's got this thing and he's going to ask me. And maybe if you switched it up occasionally.
Yeah, maybe.
He's under a lot of pressure with you being, with him being maybe your only friend.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but, you know, he's in the top 3. I asked Jamin to go.
What'd he say?
He can't go. He's got to work.
I think Jamin's kind of done with you.
Jamin texts me all the time.
That's pretty impersonal.
Fine.
What's he text you?
He texts me about the Shockers a lot.
You know
sports.
Who I text? People I never want to see.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's a good way out.
What if you don't even text people you know.
Well, it,
we know, dude. I'll see him in 20 years. We'll pick up right where we left off.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Great.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
You left off 20 years ago.
And well, you could develop a friendship, but that's just not what you do necessarily. It eats their own. But I mean,
what happened?
We could write a book about things Jason Duda doesn't do.
We're going to write another book?
Doesn't lose any sleep. Doesn't form friendships. Doesn't care.
What do you mean, doesn't form friendships?
I think we just established.
Well, I think he probably
doesn't
has
listen
friends,
to music.
But they're all back in Sexsmith.
I'm going out with buddies on Sunday night for
really?
Some beers and watching the football game.
Where are we
really?
Going?
Crying out loud.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Oh, no, you didn't get that.
We don't ever get that invite.
No. When's the last? Listen to you two. You two are the worst. Oh, you want to do this? Oh, yeah, we'll think. Well, it's a 10-day rule, though. I can change my mind. That's you guys.
I don't change my mind 10 days.
Where are you going with the boys on Sunday?
Yeah, we won't show up.
We're going to the humidor.
You going to smoke a cigar or
you
something?
You betcha.
What's your wife
little
think
whiskey,
of that? That habit.
Smoking a cigar
yeah.
once every 6 months? I don't think it's a problem.
Good
it's
for you.
It's not a problem for me, so then it should be fine.
Good for you. Where is humidor?
No, I can't tell you. You might show up.
No, I'm not showing up.
Isn't it downtown somewhere?
You're not even close.
Okay.
On the west side?
It is.
Thinking of Mort's, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
It's over by Dudley's.
A little outing with the boys. I always hated that macho outing. Hey, here's your cigar.
Because you were never... Because...
Why?
Bob, well, it was a macho outing. Bob didn't do anything macho in his life, so that's
really?
Why it's tough.
So I'm not.
Well,
macho.
You just said I don't do a macho outing.
I don't get into the whole here. We're gonna go. Well, but I mean, to each their own.
Hey, dude, it's like the first time in like a year I've been there, and the guys were chatting. We're like, well, why don't we go? We'll have a cigar. We'll have
no,
a couple
they weren't
whiskeys.
Like, hey, what?
They got 90 different whiskeys there. Really good. We'll sit in the back there in the big chairs, watch the football game, have a few drinks, and puff a cigar.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with that?
That sounds
What's wrong
so
with
great.
That in the evening?
That is so masculine, man.
It
football,
is.
Whiskey,
look at you guys.
And cigars.
So jealous because
wow.
you guys would never
and
do that.
You got to go work on cars afterwards?
No, I don't work on cars.
Yeah,
I
don't do that.
I have nothing to do with cars. You can ask anybody in the family.
Listen, what's macho about working on cars?
I don't know.
How many of these guys drive a pickup?
Do both of them?
Oh, it's
no,
just
one of them.
Two guys.
That's
yeah,
good.
Like going. You're getting together eight or nine guys.
Good for them. I hope
yeah.
you have a good time. Who's playing? Who's the Sunday night game?
Sunday night game is.
Isn't it Detroit, Indianapolis?
No.
Or is that Thursday night?
Well, Baltimore and Chargers is Monday, right?
It's not Baltimore.
So it's Philadelphia. And the Rams.
Oh, Philly and the Rams. That may be a game.
Well,
I was looking at this.
Bob, think about it. It's Philadelphia, and I'm going to have drinks.
Well, there you go. Like, it's the call
of
the show.
What do you think I'm cheering for? I'm going to call you guys all the time. Just to let you know exactly where I'm at.
We can't wait to talk to you.
Oh, it'll be something.
It will be fun. Let's do that. The Colts are wearing their Indiana Knights uniform.
By the way, that's one of the games we'll pick. This is a tough week of picks. There aren't a ton of marquee games, especially in the NFL. But you make picks.
They're tough. I don't like any of them. This is the first week I can say on the NFL side, I'm not comfortable.
I that's what I figured you meant when you said it's a tough week. When you don't like the NFL games, that is tough for you.
I don't like any of those games.
I don't think I like any of the games, period. But we'll pick them, and I seem to be... on a little bit of a roll.
That'll end.
You're working your way back into the mix, sort of.
Sort of.
I'm working my way out of the mix, and we're meeting in the middle.
Duda's been on a good, steady... let's look at him.
I'm just steady as it goes. That's just the way I wanted to do it this year.
Good grief. He had a tough beginning. Remember that -3 and that two-pointer?
I told you I wanted to give you guys a head start.
But he had a 35-point week, a 36-point week, 20, 22, 19, 12-16. He slowed down a little bit.
You're slowing down a little bit.
I missed the big 10 pointers, so that hurts.
Thanksgiving, you'll get it
just
back.
Think if I'd hit those 10 pointers, add 20 to both those last 2 weeks.
Well, that's ifs and buts.
You got to hit them.
You got to hit them. Sometimes you do, sometimes
doesn't
you don't.
Doesn't matter if you don't hit them.
It's just part of the game.
All right, we'll take a break. Brandon Clark, who never loses a bet. I don't think Brandon probably ever bets. I don't think he goes to the humidor.
Yeah, why are you telling people he bets?
I don't think he goes to the humidor. I don't think he works on his truck.
He does play football and coach
football.
It.
That's what I think.
Man's man.
I love the fact that this bothers you guys so much. It's fantastic.
I'm going to ask Brandon what the last cigar he had.
You should.
Yeah.
Probably after his last victory.
He joins us next, the Bob and Jeff Show, three-man booth.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, here's Brandon Clark from Derby High School. They are unbeaten. They face a really good Manhattan team coming up on Friday night in Derby in the Class 6A semifinals. Brandon, hello. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Bob?
We're doing well. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of this interview, we were having some fun with Jason Duda here on the show. And he was talking about his social activity coming up Sunday night, going out to smoke cigars. When's the last time you smoked a cigar? I'm just curious.
Oh, gosh. I would probably have to say, I don't know, 5 to 10 years ago, maybe. I'm not sure. I can't even remember.
Well, if you want.
So,
you want to join the macho guys Sunday night.
Bob and Jeff are really disappointed because they're not macho enough to do this. Which I do like once every 6 months to a year. Like it's a huge club. If you want to join, let me know. I'll get you on the email.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for the invite.
Let's get into your football team. It's been an incredible year. I haven't been to a game, but I watch some of your game on YouTube when I can. This is a fantastic team on both sides of the football. Is that what makes this Panthers team so special, the fact that you're really, really good offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I think both kind of feed off each other. We've had when our number one defense is out there, I think they've been scored on twice so far this year. We got scored on by a little hitch route, that missed tackle last game, and we got scored on in their first game against Hayes. But it seems like our offense is getting a really short field. And they're getting the ball back a lot of three and outs with our defense. And so they kind of feed off that. And, you know, when you only have to go 40, 50 yards to score a touchdown, it makes life a little easier. You can go for it on fourth down. And our special teams are doing really good, too. We've had close to about 10 special teams touchdowns this year. We've got some really talented players and a lot of players that want to block for those players. So, complete team offense and defense. You know, I mean, this is a high school program. We do have, you know, some areas that we're not as good as in other areas, and we got some injuries going on. But for the most part, it's been a fun team to coach, a very talented team, but a team that plays for each other and not for themselves.
So I don't think you'll have a problem with either of these things, but, you know, since you haven't really experienced them as a team this year, I just wonder where your kind of approach is. First of all, you haven't played anything close to a close game. how do you think your team might respond if and when, you know, the game against Manhattan or whatever game comes in the future gets tight? And, you know, a lot of times your players haven't played full games either. So how's the conditioning? Are there any concerns with either of those things?
You know, we try to address those issues. As far as being in a close game, we do a lot of one-on-ones in terms of our top 11 on offense versus our top 11 on defense, and we give each other a good look, and we press each other pretty hard in practice. And so, you know, we create a little adversity, and as coaches, you know, it's kind of your job. You know, you can't just kind of fly through the season without creating adversity during practice for your kids and making them feel it a little bit. So we've tried to put them in some situations where there is some adversity, and, you know, they got to think real quick and react real quick. And then in terms of conditioning, yeah, I think our we played, what, 11 games. I think our starters have played in like 22 quarters so far, which is about a half a season. So what we do is we just turn up practice. We don't condition. We probably haven't conditioned here at Derby for during the season for about 10 years. But what we do is we make our practice really high tempo. We get a lot of reps in. You know, they're flying around from drill to drill every 10 minutes. We switch drills, and the kids and the coaches are flying around, you know, sprinting to the next thing that we're going to do. So we practice really, really fast. Everything we do is fast. Everything in the weight room, you know, we have the kids lift fast, lift hard, you know, not for a long time. But, you know, hopefully, you know, it's a whole different ball game when you got all the adrenaline going and all that during a ball game. So hopefully our kids will be able to. We've put together a couple games where we played three quarters, but or almost three quarters. But I'm pretty sure this team will be able to play four quarters, and it's going to need four quarters against Manhattan.
Coach, obviously, when you've been as dominant as you have, you know, obviously your star positions, your quarterback, your wide receivers, your running backs and that sort of thing get the acknowledgement. Who are some of the guys on offense and defense that aren't getting their name in the paper every day but show up and have been really good team leaders for you?
Yeah, we've got defensively our front three defensive linemen. They are doing such a good job. They are making our linebackers flow free. They're demanding double teams. They're really being disciplined, staying in their gaps, and that just allows for our inside backers and our outside backers and our safeties to make plays and not have to shut off blocks or anything like that. And then offensively, we've got one senior on the offensive line, Caden Salviano. He's a little undersized, but, man, he has the biggest heart on our football team, and he cares for his teammates, and he's a perfect center. He calls out the defenses that we see. A lot of teams like to switch defenses on us, defensive fronts, right before the play starts, and he's kind of the quarterback of the offensive line and does a good job. And all the rest of the offensive line, I mean, they have done a really good job of improving and communicating throughout the season.
Brandon Clark is our guest. He is the highly successful football coach at Derby. And you started coaching there, if memory serves, I think this is right, when you were in your mid-20s, correct?
Yeah, I think I was, when I became head coach, it was like 26 or something like that. I was way too young.
And may I ask how old you are now?
I am 45, I think. I'm not sure. Once you get to this age, you stop remembering.
Stop counting.
It's all right, Coach. Concussions and stuff. I'm with you. It's okay.
Yeah, I've had plenty.
So we've known for quite some time that the actual coaching of football is a big aspect of what you do, but you're out for bigger and more meaningful things with your players. How much does that sustain you? And I would think you'd be a very popular speaker at coaching conventions and clinics and places like that. How much do you spread your message of what it is to coach young people? You just happen to be a football coach, but you could deliver your message to anybody. How often do you get to do that?
Yeah, quite often. You know, when our culture coach and I, we speak to a lot of companies and stuff, and we always use football and ranching stories throughout that about the culture that we've created with our football program. But at coaching clinics and stuff, you know, I used to always speak at those about X's and O's. But you know, you can get on the computer now and become a really good X's and O's coach. I mean, there's so much, like anything in life, there's so much information out there. You know, it's you can get it anywhere. But I like talking about the culture and touching lives. And, you know, if I was still that coach, that young 26-year-old coach that was all about the weight room, all about discipline, all about X's and O's and putting the kids in the right position, you know, I think I'd be burnt out by now. So, you know, speaking on culture and just really, really talking to the team, our team, about culture a lot. It's kind of what keeps coaching fresh and fun. And, you know, that we always talk about boundaries. There's always boundaries and stuff in life. But when talking about your culture, there are no boundaries.
So I was interested, Coach, when you talked about, you know, you haven't done conditioning for 10 years. And I don't know if you were like soul searching over that decision, and it was a while ago, but are there still things as a coach where you discover, hey, we don't need X to be a really good program, or we need to add X to continue to be a good program? Do those things still come up, or, you know, you've had so much success, do you kind of just roll with what has been working?
Yeah, you know, my first year of coaching, I got a group together, included Coach Appleby and a couple other guys that I really trust and are really invested in our program. And we started a football board. And that board was, after the season, we would talk about what worked, what didn't, what we need to add, what we don't need to add. And it's just not on the, you know, with the team. It's like stuff, how we serve the community, how we get out there, and little things like that. And we've continued with that board. I think I'm on year 19. So Coach Appleby obviously is up in Mill Valley and has his own now. But at the end of the year, we always think and dream about stuff that we could add to our program. But when it gets so much, there's a lot of stuff that you've done in the past that's really not having an impact on the football team like it usually does. And so we talk about what can we get rid of? What can we do to add some freshness into our program?
Talking with Brandon Clark from Derby, I want to ask you about Manhattan, because certainly this is not a walkover game, in my opinion, and they have a coach in Joe Schartz who has an incredible resume in and of himself. What do you know about Joe Schartz? What makes Manhattan difficult? Why is he such an effective high school football coach?
Yeah, I've coached against Joe for many years now, and he's really evolved offensively and defensively. He has our old head football coach, a guy that I was an assistant for, as his defense coordinator, and Lucas Haslin. And their defense is very aggressive. They have your typical stud athletes in Manhattan, then they have the typical linebackers that are just go to work and let's beat you up kind of linebackers and skill guys behind them. Then offensively, you know, 6-7 years ago, they were just kind of a ground and pound football team, kind of like a flex bone football team. And then they started evolving to empty, to motions, to all this stuff. So there's so much you have to prepare for defensively. I think our coaches had like 100 formations and motions and all that stuff that they had on just through scouting them. So they do a good job of being aggressive both on offense and defense. And once they figure out something that's working against us, they tend to stick with it.
So we were talking a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who coached at Notre Dame and had been plucked from the high school ranks. And
Jerry Faust.
And we brought up your name because obviously in this area, no one's really had as much or more success than you. So I was just curious how you felt if you woke up tomorrow and you were the coach of Oklahoma. How do you think that would go? And, you know, since that doesn't really happen, and completely hypothetically, what would be the path for a high school coach now to become a Power 5 coach?
Yeah, for one, if I was the head coach for OU, I'd be fired within a day. They got a tough schedule, so would never want that. You know, I'm pretty good friends with Coach Venables. He's the guy that recruited me out of high school, so I stay in touch with him quite a bit.
Yeah, but I should have used a different one. My bad.
Yeah. but anyways, you know, there are high school coaches that want to move on and that want to be college coaches. And I don't know, at the beginning of my career, maybe I had, you know, I had the chance out of K-State to stay at K-State and grad assistant, and I decided to try the NFL out for a little bit and then go to high school coaching. But, you know, when I was young, I probably thought about it a little bit, but the more and more I've lived in Derby and seen the relationships that my family has had throughout this community and the stability that we have with, you know, our kids growing up in one town and not, you know, 10 different towns like a lot of college coaches have to do. You know, if you're a high school coach and wanted to go be a head coach someday, you'd have to do the grunt work, get into college and get on somewhere and then work your way up. But it would probably entail a lot of moving and, you know, your kids would probably go to four or five different schools. And that's not something I would want for my kids.
Brandon, we always enjoy talking with you, and if you win it all this year, I promise to smoke a cigar in your honor.
Wow.
How about that?
All right, Bob.
I'll do better, Coach. I'll bring you one. We'll have one together. I'm not Bob. I'm just going to pretend I'll have one by myself. Happy days.
All right.
Brandon, sounds thank good. You. We'll be watching with very much interest on Friday night. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Brandon Clark, the head football coach at Derby, one of the most macho people I know, and he does it without cigars.
Have one 5 years ago, man.
Exactly.
There you go. IHOP Hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Here's Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We're going to talk some Shocker basketball. Wichita State off to an unbeaten start. They walked a tightrope a little bit with Monmouth earlier this week. They have St. Louis tomorrow night up at the AT&T Center.
Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever it is in Kansas City.
T-Mobile.
I understand that. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so Shocker basketball is interesting to me, as is the whole of Shocker athletics. We saw a letter distributed yesterday from Kevin Saul, athletic director, a day after he was on our show, and we talked to him a lot about finances and how they're paying for everything at Wichita State, given that the men's basketball program is not drawing people for whatever reason. Where is Wichita State athletic department right now in terms of having the money to do everything they want to do?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, the fiscal year report for this past year has not been released yet. Usually comes out sometime around now. So once that's out, we'll have a much better, much clearer idea. But for now, yeah, I mean, it's easy to assume, you know, not in the best place, because like you said, you know, men's basketball, that was the big money driver for all those years, you know, season tickets, selling out, you know, every men's basketball game for, you know, years and years and years. And then you look at the attendance at games now, and it's half full, you know, pretty much every game. And, you know, it still gets loud, and, you know, there's still a home court advantage there. But, yeah, it's just it's kind of crazy. You look up. Even for that Northern Iowa game, you know, a former Valley rival, you would think maybe that would draw a strong crowd. And, yeah, you know, there's 5,000, you know, 5,500 people actually in the arena. So you have to imagine that's not good for the athletic department. But like I said, you know, without that fiscal year report, it's hard to, you know, put your, you know, finger on exactly, you know, the situation that's facing the athletic department. But yeah, with that house settlement, I'm sure that Kevin went into on your show. That's a real challenge for, you know, universities all over the country, especially ones, you know, without football. You know, obviously they don't have to pay the same, but that's still, you know, it's still going to be a lot of money that they have to come up with in a, you know, a short amount of time.
So, you know, a lot of people say, well, once they win, then people will come back and I mean, I don't know that it's that simple. I guess I'll ask you that question. It seems like when you have this brand new team and they kind of look good, at least the first game people would show up, but that didn't happen. They didn't show up all last year. I know that there's a disconnect between the players that no one's familiar with and the fans, but it can't just be as simple as, well, they'll start winning and people will come back, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, last year they got off to that, you know, 6-7-0 start, and, you know, attendance didn't really improve dramatically. You know, off to a 4-0 start, these next three games will be huge. You know, if they come back to Wichita, you know, 6-1, 7-0, I think there's going to be, you know, some enthusiasm, but it's still not going to be, you know, sellouts. I think to get back to that level, you're going to have to make an NCAA tournament run. And then the next year, you're going to have to be top 25 good. And as you mentioned, you know, the turnover, roster turnover, that's, you know, probably the most popular thing when I ask fans, you know, what, why doesn't it feel the same as it did, you know, 5-10 years ago? And they just feel like, you know, they don't know these players. You know, they're coming in every year. And you look at this WSU roster, you know, 9-10 seniors. You know, they'll apply for a waiver on Bosniak, but, you know, this is going to be an entirely different roster next year. So even if WSU has success this season with this group, you know, maybe you can keep Zion Pipkin. Maybe you can keep, you know, Corey Washington. And like I said, maybe they get a waiver for Bosniak. But, I mean, this is going to be a brand new team next year. So it's not going to do much in terms of, you know, presenting that continuity that fans like. So, yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if we'll ever see WSU get back to those days where they're selling out. You know, it's going to take something really special. I do think that attendance can improve dramatically, though. I think they still can get, you know, those 8,000, 9,000 fans back. But it's going to take a top 25 team, you know, a championship contender in the American, something like that, to get fans back in. It's, you know, they're still in wait and see mode. They're beating Monmouth and Montana State. They want to see, you know, WSU back in that title mix in the conference.
And Jeff and I had talked about that too. Where exactly is this team? Because as you mentioned, it's always turnover. You never know what you have. We've only seen three games, but for yourself and someone that's close to the program, where do you see this team obviously compared to teams before, and where do you see them going in the American?
Yeah, you know, it's still, like you said, early in the season, but, you know, Memphis is looking pretty clearly like the top dog. You know, UAB was picked by the coaches to win, but they're off to a slow start. North Texas has looked really good so far. Florida Atlantic, I'm pretty high on. So I think, you know, it'll be a challenge for WSU to live up to that preseason fourth projection in the conference. But, you know, I think they have the talent to live up to it. You know, we saw the bad side. You know, it's probably about as worse as they're going to play all season against Monmouth. Just really struggled finishing, you know, 3-for-17 on jump shots in that game. So nothing outside the paint. And then you're struggling to finish. And then you're also struggling at the free throw line. You know, it's just a recipe for disaster that they were able to avoid that first game. But I do think the ceiling is much higher with this team. You have a point guard in Justin Hill who is not turning the ball over. I think he only has 4 turnovers through 4 games. And that's just going to really help your offense. Just, you know, adding shots, not wasting possessions with turnovers. So I think the ceiling is higher for this team. I do think they can, you know, potentially compete for a championship this season. You know, Memphis is clearly the talent favorite, but we've seen it, you know, time and time again, you know, implosions from them, especially during the conference season. So I think the door is wide open for the top of this conference, but, you know, WSU is going to have to play a lot better than they did on Monday. And that's why I think, you know, these next three games are going to really start to tell us something about this team. You know, those first four, you know, going on the road to Western Kentucky, that was impressive. But, you know, playing St. Louis, who I think is going to be a top 100 team, and then you got Minnesota and then Wake Forest or Florida in the Orlando tournament. You know, if they can come out with a winning record, if they can win 2 out of those 3, that's going to be a really good sign that this team's going to be able to, you know, do something come March. But, you know, if they struggle against those opponents, then, you know, it might be time to pump the brakes and see. And obviously they just got bad news today with Ronnie DeGray. He's going to be out at least a month. You know, I think it's going to be closer to two. Fractured wrist suffered on Monday. So that's kind of their glue guy, and they're going to be without him for an extended period of time now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We're talking with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. So much has changed since I left the paper 7 years ago in terms of college athletics. I'd be having a field day as a columnist, I believe, in this day and age. Don't like everything that's happening, but it's happening whether I like it or not. So you talked about the roster construction this year. We would never see a team this loaded with seniors and upperclassmen. There's always been the thought back in the day that you wanted variance in your roster. Where does that leave freshmen, incoming players like a TJ Williams, who's hurt right now, or a Zion Pipkin? How do freshmen, those guys in particular, and freshmen as a whole, handle this new day and age?
Yeah, the transfer portal has severely limited opportunities for freshmen, and you're seeing a lot of them, you know, go the JUCO route because of that. And I think, you know, unless you're a top 150 guy, you know, it's going to be tough to find a spot, you know, at the D1 level, because, you know, every team wants experience, and now it's more available than ever with the transfer portal. So, you know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, kind of worry about, you know, what Wichita State's going to look like next year. You know, like I said, 9 out of the 13 guys, they're going to be gone. That's the new age. You know, that's almost every team in college basketball is, you know, is Wichita State's not going to be on an island here trying to replace the majority of its roster. You know, that's just the new normal. And like you said, I don't think, you know, a lot of fans like that new normal, but that's just the reality of the situation, where, you know, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. And I do think, you know, Paul Mills is going to try to you know, retain players like he did this last year, you know, bringing five of his top eight back. But, you know, there's going to be years where you're going to be relying on a ton of seniors, and, you know, there's no reason to believe that next year's roster is going to look anything different. You know, that they can easily go out in the portal and bring in, you know, eight or nine new seniors and still be a very experienced team next year. So, yeah, this is just like the new way that college basketball is trending. And, you know, I think it's not super popular with fans, and especially, you know, Wichita State fans who are used to a certain way of the Marshall days, you know, when they were at the peak of their power. Like you said, you know, you want a balanced roster. You want, you know, 4-4-4 and maybe, you know, two or three freshmen. So that's just not the way that the rosters are going now. And it's going to take some time to get used to it, I think.
And we've seen Shaka Smart to some degree buck that trend at Marquette, and I like that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just real quick, Taylor, I just wanted to ask about Quincy Ballard's availability for tomorrow's game. I know he went through workouts and walkthrough and stuff like that against Mama. So where's he stand?
Yeah, he's going to play Friday. Mills said today at the press conference that was a total precaution, and, you know, they're not going to say it, but, you know, to be honest, you know, they probably thought they didn't really need him for Monmouth, and that was a total precaution just to sit him out. They didn't want him re-aggravating that before, like I said, you know, a tough stretch coming up here the next three games. So he'll be back Friday, but, yeah, without DeGray, but expect Ballard back in.
Taylor, we appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. Have a safe trip to Kansas City.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We've only put in an hour.
Nothing.
Feel like I've worked my tail off in that first hour.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of carried the two of you.
Oh, of course you did.
Well, we can leave.
We'll see what you have in hour number two. We do have picks. That's always fun. Max will join us, as will the big fella Anthony. We'll be back.
Radio you can touch.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Starring Bob Lutz.
So we don't have to be accurate now. We just throw a bunch of stuff out there. And this dummy laughs.
You want my duck?
Jeff Lutz.
You don't have to fake it until you make it. Faking it is making it.
Good man always knows his limitations.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
If you're lumping me in, I might as well get some shots in.
But I'm pretty.
Oh, yeah. If you believe it in your heart.
Alrighty then.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
You're right.
Roller coaster ride of Bob and Jeff continues.
Sounds like a damn monster movie.
Huh? Unreal.
What do you mean unreal?
Your internal clock.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Bob and Jeff. We just got done with some hard labor that was finished within seconds. And we're back.
We're all in.
We're all tired.
Yeah. We're all in really good shape.
I want a cigar right now. Oh.
What is wrong with us?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. We had to lift heavy stuff.
Back in the day, we would have done that without any issues.
Yeah, well, it's not back in the day anymore.
You were the issue.
In some regards, you might be right.
Tell me how I was the issue, please.
Just kind of a pointless exercise, I think, is what Duda was saying.
Was I? Sure.
Were you saying that?
I guess, man. I don't know where he comes up with some of this stuff.
What was pointless?
I don't know. I just removed a table half an inch and a rug another half an inch. So
no, we moved the table where it needed to be.
It looked great where it was. What was the problem?
It needed a little more of a pathway. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You needed a pathway to get out to the side. I understand what he's saying.
Interesting.
I think we could have done it a different way without as much energy, but it got done.
It did get done,
I guess. What energy?
Well, none of us wanted to speak for like five more minutes here to catch our breaths.
I think I'm okay.
My God, guys.
Hopefully.
And the best part of all that is my little girl Misty went up with us, and she came right back down with us.
Yep. She did, well.
She's locked in.
She was scared because she was like, are they going to make it? That's all she was thinking.
She is locked in.
Loyal soldier right there.
Doesn't get any better.
Good player.
Yeah, that's how I look into it. You know I love the kid.
Oh, we know. It's all good.
By the way, I'm just going to give a shout out. Adam asked about you, by the way, today.
Oh, yeah? How's Adam doing? I haven't seen him in a while.
Adam Clark with Design Benefits here in town.
He's a good dude. If you need anything, go to Design Benefits.
He's so good.
He
just takes care of us. And we appreciate him. I told him that. I said, you're the best, Adam.
They do great.
And he didn't give me any discount, which... bothered me to some
you
degree.
Do understand.
So how do you really feel
you
about it?
You can't really get discounts when it comes to insurance. Like, it doesn't work that way. You can't say, hey, can you also throw in 20% off of this? No, you can't. You can't
do
it.
With a couple compliments, he might.
Well, it was worth an effort, and I'm sure he appreciated it and had a little giggle about it after you left.
No ulterior motive at all.
No.
Absolutely not. Just butter people up and see what they can give you. That's been your strategy, right?
869-1240, the IHOP hotline is available for you. It'd be good to have a call from future Bob on a day when Duda was here.
Why?
Have you ever been here when he called?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, we still would like to hear from him.
Or Jim or anybody that wants to take the time to call.
Yeah, we have two... octogenarians who call the show, and that's...
KU Pat, who's now living in Sexsmith.
Yeah, I helped him get all his paperwork and stuff taken care of.
Right when KU started to win, too.
Yeah,
Bailed. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was just KU Pat. I don't know. Not
Certainly
saying for sure.
Certainly a theory worth floating.
We'll soon
I don't
find
have a
out.
Problem with it.
No, it doesn't bother me any.
So the Chiefs this week have Carolina, and there's zero interest. Should there be any interest in that game?
Well, maybe if you're a Carolina fan to see if Bryce Young is getting better or making any progress, but anybody else, why? No, absolutely not.
K-State, level of enthusiasm for their home game against the Cincinnati Bearcats.
2 out of 10.
Oh, that's more than I'd give it.
They got to win that one, though, don't they?
8.5-point favorite, That's iffy for me.
They're struggling right now. They've been struggling.
They are. We've lost some interest.
100% we've lost
interest. And we're a little disappointed that it's not happening as quickly as we thought it might for Avery Johnson.
and that Dylan Edwards has really not been a factor.
Not at all.
I'm a little upset about all that.
Well, that's kind of
disappointing. I'd be surprised if Dylan Edwards returns to Kansas State.
Well, he's been to he's been to a lot of schools.
He has.
He's committed
already.
To a couple. Well,
not a couple.
He's committed to several.
K-State.
He's played at a couple.
Notre Dame, Colorado, back to K-State. Yeah. That's, and he's a sophomore.
Exactly. I don't know. I that just seems confusing to me. That as a sophomore, you're basically at your fourth school.
And they don't have any receivers that really wow you. Outside of J.R. Giddens, who's really good.
J.R. Giddens, the former Kansas basketball player, of course. D.J. Giddens.
D.J. Giddens and J.R. Giddens. Everybody knew what
Are
I was
they related?
Talking about. You know, if I corrected every mistake you make on this show.
Bring it. Try.
That's all it would be.
Keep count. Be my personal.
My God, you can't get anything right.
Sometimes I don't want to.
Oh, that's it.
Sometimes.
That's a terrible excuse.
No, sometimes if I'll just throw it against the wall, and if it's right, that's a bonus. I usually don't think it will be. But sometimes
well,
it
that's
is.
That's opinion.
No, I'm talking about facts. Like,
give me one.
Give me an example. St. Louis, they play tomorrow at 6. I know they don't. It's like 9:30, but I'm just saying, like, I'll throw something out there hoping to be right. And If I'm not, I'm not.
That doesn't bother you? You're in the news business.
No, not on this show.
Isn't credibility valuable?
If people find me less credible because I make some mistakes every now and then, that's on them.
Well, I just think that's an awful way
them?
To look at that.
It's just, you know, you either know me by now or you don't.
So I'm never right, but hey, deal with
I've
it.
I've been right. Ask me something.
I don't want to ask you
Ask me something.
Who's the coach at Maryland?
What coach?
Basketball.
Gary Williams?
See, that's just ridiculous.
Who is the coach at Maryland?
I don't know.
It was Mark Turgeon at one point.
I think it's was Ralph Willard, but then I think
90 years ago.
I think there's been I don't know who replaced Turge.
Kevin Willard.
Kevin. Well,
Ralph,
see,
Ralph Willard.
I got it.
209.
I got close.
Ralph Willard is 209.
Just Ralph about. Willard was a long. Is Kevin his son?
Kevin is. He was the head coach at Western Kentucky. I don't know. Personal life. Doesn't say about any kids.
Come on, get to it. We don't have all day.
Yeah, it is a son.
There you go. That's why I associated it. Who's the coach at Texas A&M? You ought to know that one. That's
Tony Barone.
Easy. Buzz Williams.
Oh, old Buzzard. The old Buzzard.
He's still there?
I should have known that.
I mean, when it becomes so blatantly
but
obvious.
Isn't it better to know who was the coach there in 1993?
When it becomes
so much more impressively
obvious that I know more. Who was Tony Barone the number one assistant to for some time? In the Missouri Valley Conference.
In the Missouri Valley Conference, he served under the great Dana Altman.
There you go.
That was right. See, I
See,
told
look
you.
At you.
Every now
it,
and then.
He tossed that sucker, and she's stuck. She's still there.
Well,
I can
I
see
gave
it on your wall.
I basically gave it to him when I said the Valley.
Yeah, there was only one coach in the Valley, and I got it.
There was? I thought there was more than that.
Name a former head coach at Drake.
Former head coach at Drake, Darian DeVries.
Name one before that.
And who did they have? Give me a first name.
No, I'm not giving you anything.
You tell me.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not. This is your game.
That was a good game.
That was a pretty solid game. I think you guys did well.
I mean, Missouri Valley Comp, Maury John was a former head coach at Drake.
Okay, yeah, he has their
most successful
head coach. How about Gary Garner?
Gary Garner.
Yeah, Maury John, he was I'm looking at 1993, their coach was Rudy Washington. Kurt Kanasky, I remember him.
Rudy Washington was a trip.
He was what?
A trip. He was out there.
He was not a good coach.
But under Maury John, Drake went to the Final Four. Can I name any of those players you ask?
Yeah,
Lloyd. Willie Wise, Andre McCarter.
What year do you think?
Bob Nedelicki. They went to the Final Four in 1968.
Yeah, it was 68-69.
Look at you, so proud over there.
I mean, the Final Four was held in 69, but...
Well, it was 68-69.
Who was their leading scorer on that team?
On that team?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Willie Wise was their best player. Andre McCarter was probably their leading scorer.
Well, Willie McCarter.
Willie
was.
McCarter. I get. But see that's so long ago.
Why do you think he was a? Well, Willie Wise did have a bunch of rebounds. Yeah, Willie Wise pretty good.
Yes, Willie Wise was really good.
Only played 2 years at Drake.
Right. Then he went to the ABA. Now we're on a roll. Now I'm on a roll.
Keep it going. I love it.
This is when I shine. Go ahead. Wait a minute. You were supposed to be the one
playing the
game.
What NBA team did he play for?
I can't remember that. That's
what NBA team did he play for?
I don't know. I can't remember that.
He played for Los Angeles.
Okay. Ask me where Warren Jabali played. I can tell you.
Ask me a question I know. I'll tell you the answer.
Why are you like that?
What do you mean, why am I like that? Ask me 3 + 5.
I can get that
one. Don't give me algebra.
I'll do the math.
Do it.
That's it. 3 + 5 = 7, 8.
Goodness.
Oh, my gosh. I miss the Valley.
It was nice. You don't miss the Valley. You miss 1981.
I miss elements of the Missouri Valley Conference. I miss the people. I love those folks. Jack Watkins, Mike Kern.
Is Jack Watkins still with the Valley?
He is. Both he and Mike are.
Interesting. Jack Watkins has been there forever.
He has been there forever. And, you know, my trips to St. Louis were always fantastic.
Do they still have their tournament in St. Louis?
Of course they do.
Well, things move around.
That's true. You can't get mad at them for that.
Why?
Well, because look at all the teams moving, conferences moving. So it would make sense that possibly the tournament moved.
Mm.
Arch Madness, they call it.
Were you ever there?
Yeah, once. You took me one time. Thank you for that. It was during a Randy Smithson season.
Really?
One of those years they finished like 17-16 or whatever.
Where'd we stay?
I don't know.
Do you remember anything about the trip? Any place we went to eat?
They beat somebody, and then they
lost. On the hill?
I don't think so. Who else did you take? I think you took another person, but I don't remember.
Well, who would it have been?
I don't want to put people's business out there.
Oh, so it was one of those trips.
It was Jan 2, I believe.
Yeah, I do remember that.
But she also went to St. Louis to the Cardinals game. So I might be getting those mixed up.
Well, let me just say there was, and Debbie, I apologize for saying this, but there, you know, I won't go there.
Well, I won't go there either, okay? How about that?
What do you go? Where would you go?
I would go places.
Oh, I got to hear this. Where are you going?
I mean, if you're going to start to brag, then I'm going to put you right back in your place. But I don't want to put.
Well, I don't think it's bragging.
Yeah, I don't either, if you know what I mean.
Well, what are you saying?
What are you
saying?
You're
going to brag if you're, you know, with a model or something.
Oh, now the woman's not attractive.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying you won't brag with somebody else, but you definitely will brag. Don't put words in my mouth. That's awful.
Well, what you just said is awful.
What do you mean?
That's something.
I mean, you talk about awful.
What did I say?
I mean, what you know what you said and implied.
She's a nice woman.
Oh, there it is again.
Very friendly.
I mean, I can't believe you.
What did I do?
If we were a... I got so many Rickles lines going through my head right now. Well,
just say one.
I can't. It's too... I don't think we can say these things in this day and age, nor should we.
Probably not.
Jeff crossed the line, in my opinion.
Jeff crossed the line.
Did I? You think that?
Not really, but I think it's funny.
Well, I don't know where he was going with that.
I think I went exactly where I ended up.
I think I'd have to say that he's probably correct in that assumption. Yeah, he did.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, he did really well, I thought.
Thank you.
Let me just say this.
I liked it.
I dated a few women in my time. And Jeff's been with approximately, I don't know. You
20.
You've done very well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We've never gotten into, we can turn the tables now on dudes. What was your dating life like pre-Dia?
When did you meet Dia? How old were you?
23.
So you didn't have much.
Did you?
I was single from 18 to 23.
How'd that go for you?
Just fine.
Here in Wichita?
Well, and at home.
Well, I mean, what was?
Well, I didn't get here till 21.
What was the opportunity to date like in Sexsmith?
Well, what do you think?
What do I think about what? I only dated two girls from back home.
From Sexsmith.
One was from Grand Prairie, one was from Sexsmith.
Big town, big city.
Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with this cowboy.
She opened not your really. Eyes, kills, if you know what I mean.
Not really.
Who kills animals.
Not really.
Well, I mean,
he kills animals.
Didn't you?
On the farm, yes. Yeah, we killed to eat them.
You don't do that.
We're all curious.
Any characteristics about these women you like to share?
Jeez.
What prompted you to go out with Dia? What did you ask her out? What was your first date?
I think we went to a movie.
We can't talk at a movie.
Exactly.
That's probably
why I took her there. So I didn't put my foot in my mouth.
You needed to talk on a first
Jeez,
date?
Bob.
Did you talk? Did you go somewhere afterward and visit?
Oh, God.
Did you ever
Dude,
talk
this
to
is
the
like,
woman?
Have you ever talked to her?
This is like 25 years ago. I don't remember. I can honestly tell you, I can't tell you what I did yesterday.
My first time with meeting my wife, Abby, was at River City Brewery. We had a long conversation.
Well, that's perfect.
One, because she's the slowest eater known to mankind. I'm running out of things to say. Could you eat that Caesar salad a little faster?
You eat pretty fast, though, so that's not fair.
Well, I did in those
I've
days.
I've never seen
I don't
a guy.
Now.
You ready? No, I've got 14 bites left.
Well, let's go. Let's move. What are we there for?
To eat.
Yeah, not and that's it. So,
I'm trying to eat. You ready?
So eat.
I'm like that now, and it's irritating to me.
All right, time for a break. We'll come back, make picks. 5 college games, 4 from the NFL. And we're looking forward to it. Anthony will join us on the IHOP hotline. Stay tuned.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
This ain't a scene, it's an arm race from Fallout Boy. It is what it is, a musical theme. All right, let's get going right here with these picks. We got a lot of picks, not a lot of time. Jason Duda has taken hold of this. He's been in the lead now for a few weeks. I've made my way into the race to some degree. Jeff's in second place. Max and the big fella are basically who's a bottom feeder in college football?
George Washington.
There you go. I don't know.
Who were we talking about yesterday?
The Mississippi University for Women.
That's right. Let's get started. Welcome, Anthony. Welcome, Max. We start in the Big 12. BYU and Arizona State. Really good game, really interesting game. BYU coming off its only loss of the year to KU. Arizona State impressive in beating K-State in Manhattan. 3.5 points, ASU. If ASU is anything close to what they were in the K-State game, I like them. I like them for 5. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think BYU's that good. They were exposed against Utah, barely won, exposed against Utah, or against KU and lost. So I got Arizona State for 4.
Let's see what Duda has. He's got an opening there.
Well, obviously Arizona State beat K-State, but I haven't been high on K-State. I think KU's been playing better. I got BYU for 5.
There's a gain for us.
Wow.
Here's
now
where
that's on a college
Matt,
game.
Here's where Duda starts to fail. Max?
Oh.
How many weeks have you been saying that?
9.
We're at week 13, Jeff, so yeah, we've been saying it for... Yeah.
What's your pick, Max?
I'm taking Arizona State for 3. At home.
Big fella, who do you have in this one?
Well, I want to agree with some of what y'all have said thus far, but like you say, BYU was kind of exposed against Utah, barely escaped. KU held them to 13 points. 13? Are you kidding me? And then we got Arizona State who beat K-State, but BYU also beat K-State boat racing.
Anthony, this is a one-hour show. We're down. What? I love Anthony.
We need his analysis. Continue, please.
I'm going to go with BYU because they got to get that taste out their mouth. They were embarrassed last week, so they're going on the road, taking their show on the road. They're going to pray the Mormon in prayer, and I'm going to take BYU for 6.
Like we...
Wow. Duda and the big fella on the same page on that one. Not a page you want to read much. Here's a...
Especially Duda.
Alabama and Oklahoma down in Norman. This was a game that the Sooners have been pointing to forever. They joined the SEC for these kinds of games. You get what you wish for. Alabama, 13.5-point road favorite. Jeff.
These picks are brought to you by FanDuel America's number one sports book. And a lot of money should be going on the Crimson Tide in this game. Oklahoma has generally fallen flat in its SEC debut. I've got the Tide for a big 7.
Let's see what Jason Duda has here.
Let's be honest here. Oklahoma is not very good, but this is the game they've been waiting for.
It is?
And it doesn't matter. Alabama for 8.
My man.
Max, where are you at? Boy, Duda going big on the college ranks.
I know, that doesn't happen
this
very often.
This is not something we've seen. Max?
I'm going to be looking for Tom Thurber in the crowd, and I'm taking Bama for 4.
What about you, Anthony? Who do you like in this one?
Right. Oklahoma's been looking for this game for the longest, and they might be looking for an exit to get out of the SEC. I'm taking Bama for 8.
Yeah, I think Alabama is motivated. They're improving. They're motivated to go to Oklahoma. This is the kind of games they love, too. This isn't Oklahoma's. Alabama for 8. There we go.
What did Max put on it?
4.
Hmm.
Next, we have the bonus game. Unbeaten Indiana at the Horseshoe to face Ohio State, once beaten. Ohio State giving 13.5 points. Duda.
To a 9-0 team. Can you believe that? Given 13.5. Exactly. Thank you, Jeff, because I couldn't agree more. Ohio State for 10.
Who's Ohio State beaten?
Penn State.
Have you heard of them?
They're not. And as I tried to tell you, the Big Ten's the most overrated thing in the world. In everything.
Yeah, Oregon's bad.
They're not that good.
They're not.
Max.
Yeah, Indiana. This is the real deal for them when they come in to play Ohio State. I'm taking Ohio State for 5.
Max holding tight a little bit. What about you, big fella?
No, you could talk all day, talk about Indiana not playing anybody, but we're used to that song and dance around here. Wichita State played in the Missouri-Raleigh Conference. They said they didn't play nobody, but they beat some big boys in the tournament. So this is Indiana's tournament right here. I'm going to say Ohio State, but my confidence of them covering that spread is at a 3.
I thought you were going to go big on this one based on our conversation yesterday.
Well, you know what? I did. I'm going to change that. Make that Indiana 9.
What? What on Indiana earth 9. Just happened yep. here?
Indiana for 9. It was Oklahoma.
What?
Me and Bob did
Wait
have
a minute.
And then you remember.
You're
like,
going
oh, man,
Indiana? Is he? What?
I'm going Indiana,
Indiana
nine,
for 9. There you go. All right. Big fella. Trying to make up some ground. I think this has a chance to be. Man, you guys and your
then
hatred
pick Indiana.
For Indiana.
There's no hatred.
Ohio State.
You know who Jason Duda hates?
Ohio State.
This is hard. Indiana for 3. I'm not. What about you, Jeff?
I'm putting 10 on this game, one way or the other. But since Duda picked Ohio State, do I want to try to keep up with him, or do I want to make a run? This could be a 20-point swing. I think that's too many points to risk, so I will go Ohio State for 10.
You think that's too many points to risk, yet you picked them for 10.
Right, so if I lose it, he loses it. If I lose it and he
so
wins it.
You're running scared from Duda.
Well, I'm not scared.
That's exactly it.
It's a strategy play. We're not.
No,
even,
it's a fear play.
We're not even close to the end of this thing.
Cincinnati in Manhattan to face Kansas State. Cincinnati getting 8.5. They're fading a little down the stretch. So is Kansas State. Max, who do you have?
I don't trust Kansas State. I'm going Cincy for 2.
Cincinnati for 2. Anthony.
Taking Kansas State, but I'm going to lay at 4th spot.
Yeah, I don't. This was a game.
Are
I don't,
you sure you don't want to take Cincinnati for 7 instead, Anthony?
Hey, get off, Anthony. Anthony, you have my permission to do whatever you need to do to Jeff.
Silence
K-State,
is the best killer.
That's a lot of points. They gotta play well. K-State for 2, Jeff.
I don't know. K-State has been awful the last 2 times they've been out. Cincinnati's nothing to write home about, but I'll take the Bearcats anyway. Show me something, K-State. 2 points.
What about you, Duda?
Yeah, not a fan of this one at all. Not a fan of K-State winning by 9, but I don't got a lot of confidence. Cincinnati for 1.
Well, there you go. Colorado and Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas getting points at home. Quote unquote. 2.5 points to be exact. Big fella Anthony starts this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to this game because there's so much hype going around it. Colorado flipped the quarterback, about to get an offensive lineman, but it ain't going to have nothing to do with the game on Saturday. I actually got confidence in Kansas that they can actually cover. So I'm going to put a 5 spot on Kansas.
5 for KU. I hear it. I think KU is playing really well right now. I know Colorado's a good football team. I think Kansas, the way I look at things, they're going to go 6-6, get to a bowl game, and then they'll try to make sense of the whole season when it's over. I like Kansas here for 6. Jeff?
I just do not see it. The teams that they've played – BYU, they're okay. They're you know, offensively weren't great. Iowa State has started to fade. They hung with K-State, which that doesn't look like much of an accomplishment anymore. Colorado's just better. I will take Colorado for 5.
All right, Duda.
Hate agreeing with Jeff, but I have to. I think Colorado wins this game, although Kansas I have liked in the last couple weeks, but I got Colorado for 7.
Here's where I come now.
No.
Here's
oh
where
God.
It happened.
This is you've been saying that for 6
Jeff
weeks.
Jeff has been so bad of late. This is not turning his season around.
Or
Max,
will it?
Who do you have?
Come on, Colorado has a lot of juice. They're talking about Deion possibly be going to the NFL to coach. Mm-hmm. They're on fire. Colorado for 5.
Good pick.
You know, how can Max or the big fella speak with any amount of confidence where they are in the standings?
We hey, just do.
Go easy on Anthony.
You know
That's
what
right,
I mean?
Me.
Let him know.
Well, sorry to throw
Anthony,
you in
there.
Anthony,
you can do whatever you need to do to Bob. Don't
I apologize.
Even, don't even
I do apologize. And your love affair with Colorado They lost to Nebraska, and they lost to Kansas State. There you go. Let's get that out.
9 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
They're better than KU.
It does matter.
They haven't beaten anybody. They seriously haven't beaten anybody.
Who's KU beat?
Iowa
State. Nobody. And who have they lost to?
BYU was unbeaten, you moron.
Who have they lost to? Look at the teams they've lost to. If you want to make that argument, then look at the teams that have beat KU.
It's about what you're doing now. Why'd your wife ever?
Oh, really? Yeah, really. It's what you're doing now.
Why did your wife ever agree to date you?
We literally just said.
Let's get to the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Detroit and Indiana. Shut up.
It's about what you're doing now, unless it's the team that I don't like, and then it's about what they did earlier.
I will take you to the backyard and just.
Go. Let's go.
Detroit and Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, Detroit is 7.5-point favorite. Come on. Detroit for 7. Be serious. Jeff.
Let's be serious, folks. Yeah, Anthony Richardson against Detroit is going to make some mistakes. Detroit's too good. I got Detroit for 8.
There's your 8-pointer.
There it is.
Duda does not have an 8-pointer or a 7-pointer left.
This is going to be one of those games where Detroit's going to come back a little bit. They're going to play down. They're on the road. I got Indy for 2.
That's ridiculous.
Dumb. There's the downfall of Duda. It has some alliteration
to it.
With
his 2-point game, that's going to be his downfall.
Yeah. Max?
Detroit's won 8 in a row, and they're angry. Anthony Richardson isn't going to show anything to Detroit. I'm taking the Lions for 7.
Perfect sense. Max has never made more sense. Anthony, what do you have?
Detroit, Indianapolis? Really? This shouldn't even be on the radar. I'll take Detroit and whatever my next highest point total is. I believe that would be a
7.
I didn't say that. I'm going to give him a 3.
No, you already picked 7.
I'm going to give him a 3. Nope, I didn't pick it. I said, I'm going to give him a 3. I'm going to give him a 3.
Anthony, I love you. Have you been drinking?
He didn't pick 7.
Not, let me put negative 5 on that one.
I'll take my highest value, 3.
I am looking at the ball of hot damn right about now in my hand.
Let's get to San Francisco, Green Bay. Green Bay, 2.5-point favorite at home. Jeff.
Don't like this game at all. Green Bay, but for 3, I guess.
What about you, Duda?
Yeah, just because they're at home, I'll take Green Bay for 4.
Max.
San Francisco's got to have this. They need it. I'll take the 49ers for 8.
Ooh.
8.
They need
Ooh.
It.
Goodness.
Max may have a bottle of hot damn in his possession. Anthony, what do you got here?
I'm still looking at that bottle right here. If he needs it, I got it. Green Bay, I'll give them 2.
2?
2.
All right. I like San Francisco in this one. I have a feeling that they're going to take off now and start to play more like the team we think they should be. I've got them for 4. Let's move quickly here. I'm running out of time. Baltimore and the Chargers. Baltimore a road favorite. 2.5 points. Duda?
Baltimore can't beat anybody that's any good. On the Chargers at home, I'm not high on this one, but I'll take the Chargers for 3.
Max?
Chargers starting to play. Herbert's looking good. I think Derrick Henry's a little worn out. I'll take the Chargers for 6.
All right. Anthony?
I'll take the Chargers for 1.
Chargers for 1. I also like the Chargers for 1. Jeff, can you make it a clean sweep, or are you going to take...
I got Baltimore, but I don't know. I won't be surprised at either outcome. Baltimore for 1.
Boy, Max with the confidence there. And finally, the Chiefs on the road in Charlotte to face Carolina, arguably the worst team in the NFL. We start with Duda here, Kansas City giving 10.5.
Starting with me again? All right.
Let's start with Max. We know who Max is going to pick, and he's had a pretty good run here so far, but he'll blow it here.
Like the Fanoic fake, like I'm hurt. I'll take the Panthers for 1.
Yeah, I hear you, Anthony, what do you have?
Oh, with the refs going to help him out again? Last week they held up a snap so they could challenge. Then the guy clearly didn't catch the ball. Oh,
Max,
let's not even review
off.
It. Nah, yeah. Go kiss their ass.
Let Anthony pick.
Come on now.
The Panthers
must
are so
be,
bad.
Must be hell for you.
The Panthers are so bad, I would put Butler County and Coffeyville up against them combined. I'm laying my 7 on Kansas City.
Kansas City for 7. I like Kansas City here as well. And I'm going for 3. Wait, 1, 2, 3.
Anthony?
For 6. Wait, I can't do that. What do I have left, Jeff?
I don't know.
You're writing them down.
Yeah, this isn't fishy.
No. For 3.
All right, for 3.
Jeff.
Kansas City's only double-digit victory, I believe, was against the NFC South, New Orleans. Carolina's very bad. Kansas City for 6.
And Duda.
Carolina's won their last 2 games. Kansas City can't score more than 20 points. They don't beat anybody by double digits except once all year. I got Carolina for 6. Thank you very much.
Look at
much.
That.
Wow.
Wow. What a pathetic showing.
Duda's downfall.
I love it.
Anthony,
so far behind, he's just got to ridicule every week.
Anthony, take a sip for us. We appreciate it. Thanks for being on today.
Absolutely. All right.
The downfall of Duda, folks. IHOP Hotline, sponsored by IHOP. Official morning partner of Xbox.
I would hope so.
You would think. And we appreciate IHOP and all their wonderful food and people and everything they do at IHOP. When's the last time you hopped?
I know
still a little tired.
They went there Friday.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, happy days.
Yeah. So, interesting, we've got Colorado KU all over the place. You, Max, and Jeff, talking to Duda, had a fairly good level of confidence. The big fellow and me had fairly good level of confidence for Kansas. That, how much confident, if we'd made that the bonus game, how many points would you have put on Colorado?
10?
10. You're just going 10 on everything.
Yeah.
That's going to cost you the whole thing.
Although I'm winning right now by 20 points.
It's going to cost you the whole
thing.
It
might come back and it might not. I mean, we don't know. So I guess we'll find out. Could I see KU winning that game? Yeah, I could. It wouldn't shock me.
You know, I had an idea.
Wait, we were talking.
For the show.
This should be good.
I think you guys will really like it.
Okay.
So we got just like a few minutes left in the show. So you could see like this final segment sort of being like a rapid fire segment where we go through a bunch of topics. And you know what we call it?
Rapid fire?
Rad Racer.
Jeez. I actually don't mind it. I don't.
We're just zooming through things.
The rad racer.
Well, let's go.
No, I'm just saying in the future.
No, do it today.
No, I don't want to do it today.
Well, you're the one who came up with
it. Yeah, it's a good idea.
We're not, and it'll never see the light of day.
It will.
As long as I'm on this show.
Rad Racer tomorrow debuts.
No, it won't.
In the final
we'll
segment.
We'll shut it down so
Why?
Quickly. Because of the attitude you're putting forth.
What attitude? I think I have a great attitude. Duda likes it. Everybody's happy.
See, there you go. We're trying to bring Duda to your side.
I do. I kind of like it, though.
You see, it seems like he's on my side. I don't need to.
Then start. Give me a hot topic.
Don't let him do that. Don't let him back you into a corner.
No?
That's bullying tactics, and we won't stand for it.
Okay.
You'll think bully when your nose is hanging off your face. How's my blue streak here doing?
Oh, it's still there.
I have racked my brain trying to think of how that could have gotten there. And I just don't know.
I think it's ink of some sort. That's my best guess. I don't know when, where, how.
Maybe if he shaved, you know, the blue gel maybe got on. But I don't think you – did you shave today?
Not today.
No.
So and that would come off, so.
Well, you'd think, but I'm just tossing out ideas.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, did you eat any, like, blue licorice? Or?
No. I'll figure it out. I'll go up.
I don't
and,
think you will. You haven't figured it out yet. It's not just going to. No way.
Well, I've gone through everything from the day. I just can't.
Maybe it's been there for like 2 days.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know.
I'll bet I know.
Uh-oh. He's got it.
I'll bet it's toothpaste. You know, I have that blue gel toothpaste.
Well, that could be it.
I think I figured it out.
Well, how did they get there, though? It's supposed to stay in your mouth.
Well, sometimes it drips over.
But it drips. That doesn't.
It's usually white at that point.
Yeah, it's not. It's not blue.
I use blue toothpaste.
I know, but if it drips out of your mouth, it doesn't remain blue.
No, it's blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Mixed with your saliva, it remains blue.
Yeah, it's blue.
Wow. Well, maybe.
That's what it is.
He's got it.
Maybe that's why you're experiencing liver failure, too.
I'm going to.
What?
Blue stuff just in your mouth. It was a joke.
Boy, that's funny that you joke about things like that.
I assumed your liver was okay, is it not?
With your father. That's always. Yeah, when a guy's 70, do you really make liver jokes?
Your numbers are good, right?
Do you roll the dice and just say, he's probably okay. I'll go for a cheap laugh.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's what you did.
I went with B on that one, yes.
If his liver's not okay, out of hell with it.
Well, it's probably got to do with blue stuff that you're swallowing.
That's,
that's
certainly unbelievable.
I'll find out. I'll find out how long it's been there.
What do you mean you'll find out?
Oh, just never mind. I'll let you know next week when I'm back.
So you're saying it could be there next week?
Well, it might be. I mean, if it's blue toothpaste, you can't get that out. That's why your teeth stay so white.
Yes.
So there you go.
And it affects my liver, apparently.
It must.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back. Another three-man booth tomorrow. I say that dejectedly in some ways.
Same.
But we'll do it. See you then.
Same? Okay.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.